You're listening to 104.7 right here in the heart of Gander from the Quality Hotel. This is MNL Radio. Or you're listening on the web, www.ryakuga.net, or anywhere else. I have with me a very famous person. If you've seen a very famous musical, Oswald Fudge, who's a counselor here.
Yes.
Welcome. It makes no sense for me to welcome you in Gander, but nevertheless, you know. So you were here in 2001.
Yes.
So who were you in 2001? What were you doing?
I was a municipal police officer here in town. There was a big police force. There was two of us.
Two of you, yeah.
Yes, and I was working on day shift that week.
On the September 11th.
On September 11th, yes.
And you got up in the morning not thinking you were going to be in a Broadway play someday.
No, I mean, you know, I just got up and as I was telling the writers of the play, you know, get up.
Yeah.
We run radar, and I was running radar on Airport Boulevard and Bonnie Harris. She's the president, or the pound manager of the SPCA.
Yes.
She was the one who I was in a world of my own. I had my radio, car radio turned off, and my police radio turned down.
Yeah.
And I'm watching my radar, and I look over to my right, and here's Bonnie, and she's waving at me like mad, and she's saying, "Oz, Oz." And I look at her and says, "What's going on?" And she pulled in and come up alongside of me, and she said, "Turn on your radio." And I said, "What? For God's sake, Oz, turn on your radio." So I turned on the radio, and I heard it. And I go, "Oh, my God. Now, how is, you know, because if you look at Gander's history, the international airport and how big the runways are and everything else, I go, how is that going to affect us?" So I immediately went to the RCMP detachment to find out, because that's where we work out of, is the RCMP detachment. And they just said to me, "Hang on, we don't know what's going on."
So nobody had heard yet?
We didn't know.
Or you didn't know.
Because that was like, 9 o'clock in the morning.
So the
The planes never started to arrive until in the afternoon.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when they called me on the radio, the RCMP did, and get up and back at the airport. And when I went up there, I would say there was 1,000 people up there watching the planes come in.
Really?
As we say here, we were up watching the jets pitch.
And,
And I mean, In the play, it says, you know, there's a one, and then there's another one, and then there's another one, and that's the way it was.
Yeah.
You could see the lights of the planes, like they were stacked up, and you knew they were coming in. And there was one runway that they were coming in on.
Yeah, yeah. So within a few hours, you realize that there's some logistical issues that you're going to have to deal with.
Well, see, again, you know, I'm looking at these planes coming in, and I was asked the question, "What was going through your mind?"
Yeah.
And I'd go, "That's a jumbo jet. My God, there's got to be 200 or more on that one."
Yeah.
And then I see an L-1011. I go, "She's almost as big as a jumbo. There's going to be 200 or more on that one."
Yeah.
And then there was another. I go, 150 there for that one. And I started to add this up. And I'm looking at the planes that are down, and I'm looking at the planes that's coming in, and I'm figuring there's going to be anywhere from 7,000 to 10,000 people. And they asked me what my feeling was at that time, and I told them, "Look, I didn't panic. What I did is I just looked towards the town, and I, you know, it was like a sense of calm come over me because I've said it 100 times, I knew the people of the town. I knew the people of this region, and I knew the people of this province. There wasn't going to be a problem, and there wasn't."
Yeah. Were you a counselor at the time?
No.
So was there a moment when you started to realize the historic importance of what was going on in some way?
Or did
You just did your job?
Just did the job. And, and most people in town, I refer to it a light switch. The light switch went on.
Yeah.
Everybody did what they had to do. When the last plane took off, the light switch went off and everybody went back to normal. And we never thought no more of it. You know, it wasn't until 2011 when David and Irene showed up.
Yeah.
And started to ask a few questions, and we went back to all the interviews again from the different media sources. So we were just thinking, "Oh, well, this is a normal thing. People just want to ask a few questions." And next thing you know, David and Irene are telling us that, "Oh, the play has done quite well in Ontario, and it's going to go to La Jolla and Seattle." And then all of a sudden we were hearing rumors of Broadway. And we were going, holy, you're kidding me. Broadway.
That's not Broadway in Cornerbrook, right?
No, you know, no, that's through the jigs and reels, it went to, the nice thing about it all is it went to, it came here to Gander.
Yeah.
Now, yes. I think the disappointing part is a lot of people didn't realize exactly what it was and what it was about.
Yeah.
And I tried to explain to people, this is a Broadway play, and it's coming to Gander.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
How many chances does Newfoundland and Labrador have of a Broadway play?
One.
And we had it. But there was about 3,000 people to a show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, it was truly, truly amazing.
That would have been quite a thing. I mean,
you know, when they, the first song,
yep,
and they broke into the chorus, I'm an Islander,
yep,
the place went up. The actors were crying, people in the audience was crying.
Yeah.
Because if you're at a bit of a Newfoundlander at all,
yeah,
and you're from this island, one of the things that you've noticed from the mainland, I'll say, is that when they portray us in a lot of movies, in a lot of documentaries, in a lot of anything, we come off sounding and looking like this bumbling jokester who, you know.
The clown of Canada.
Right, the clown of Canada. That's the best way to put it, clown of Canada. And we were worried. If you talk, there's a video going on, Come From Away has done, of after the play, and they're asking people, you know, what they thought.
Yeah.
First,
yeah.
they loved the play, but then they said, you know, people are saying, they nailed it. Yeah. They got us.
Yeah.
Finally, someone got who we are.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. That that was the thing for us.
Yeah. You've seen the play.
How
many times?
I think I'm on number 12.
Really? 12?
There's a young lady in New York.
Yeah.
And this was before Christmas, I think it was. Had seen it 100 times.
Oh, dear.
100 times.
She should be in the play at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Beverly Bass, she's over 100 now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pilot who is
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's seen it quite a few times. I've been lucky enough. I think it's a dozen times for me.
So you like it, obviously.
Oh, you know, and a lot of people are saying, well, it's only because you're in it. But really, it's not. It's the emotion that you get when you see your province, your, you know, and it's a weird way to say it, but your people.
Yeah.
But it's Newfoundlanders and Labradorians and how we're portrayed on that stage. Yeah.
Have you met the actor who plays you?
Oh, Gino, yes. Gino's a bit
of
a character.
Has he nailed you?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay. He's a bit of a jokester. And, and when when they were here for the play, we made him an honorary member of the town police.
Okay,
and,
excellent.
We gave him his own badge, and oh, my, geez, he was right proud of it. I told him he couldn't arrest anybody down in New York, so don't even think about it.
Don't send any radars down there. Yeah, yeah. And you've seen it in Toronto, too. You said
Yes. The Americans, the New York version, they went to Toronto. They came here, they went to Toronto, and then they went to New York.
All right.
So we seen them in Toronto.
Yeah.
And then we seen them opening night in New York.
Yeah.
And now the new cast for Toronto, they brought us up for the opening night for those.
For that as well. Yeah.
Yes. So that was really. Yeah. And what they've done now, they've hired another set of actors.
Okay.
As my kids, now they're in their 30s, but they call like Gino fake dad number one, and you know, full in Toronto's fake dad number two, and now we got a fake dad number three.
Okay,
because they've hired a group to do the North American tour.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
They're starting in Seattle.
Yeah.
And they're going through the states, and I know that Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, and Ottawa is on the list right now.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to convince them to come back here.
Well,
it's only fair.
It would be, because you were actually the intellectual property of that thing is all about here, isn't it? You know, like you own that story.
Yeah. I know that the play is going to Dublin and London and Australia and they're picking a few more places. We've been hearing rumors of Asia and Germany.
So what is it? I know it's been very affecting on people who have seen it in New York. Now, partly because it was the towers in New York. I understand all that. But it seems to have hit a note or a trigger or whatever in a lot of people. And sure, it's the people in Gander, but it's the whole package there.
We had a group of people come up from New York. Mm-hmm. They called it the Tour of Gratitude. And I met this New York City police officer, Joe, and his wife, Sonia. And they'd seen the play. And I asked them the question, you know, what, you know, and what they were telling me was on that day, right, all they saw, like Joel said, gets the call, he gets in uniform, and he races down. And most people, and I'll say majority, when you're looking at emergency services, whether it's fire, police, ambulance, don't make any difference. If you're on your way to a scene, you're on their way there to try and save a life. But when they got there, there was nobody to save. The buildings were down. And for 6 months, they had to go down there for recovery. There was no such thing as saving. It was all recovery. And Joe was telling me that in the six-month period, they wore out three pairs of shoes. The ground was that hot, it would melt the soles of their shoes. And it affected everybody. It affected them.
No doubt.
And then all of a sudden they hear about this play. And, of course, everybody's talking about 9-11, 9-11. Yeah, yeah. But really it's about 9-12. And at first they were going, oh, my God, how cruel could someone be to do a Broadway play about something so horrific? And I'll tell you, because I've been in the emergency field for 38 years. A lot of times when you see something pretty horrific, afterwards you almost feel like you're alone. This PTSD makes you feel like you're alone. It puts you in a state. And that's where Joe and Sonia was, because she was in the emergency services too. But when they saw the play and they saw that there was people out there that were so helpful and so kind and so nice, and we're not alone. And that was the thing that really touched them. And if you talk to a lot of the emergency services people from New York, they'll tell you that. They'll tell you that. A lady that I met from Washington, she was in the Pentagon when the plane hit. She was in her office, and she was the only one who survived. Everybody on her office died. And she told me that, because the play went to Washington, and what they did is they invited all the survivors and first responders and all this to see this play. And in the beginning, she said, no, I'm not going. How cruel could someone be? And her daughter convinced her to go. And when she come out of it, she said she laughed, she cried, she said it was a healing process. It was the start of a healing process for her. And she came to Gander to see it because she wanted to be in amongst the people that were involved. And that was number six or seven times that she had seen it. So it's the play has more of effect on basically everybody.
The characters, you know them all.
Yes.
Could be related to some, I don't know. But
No.
Have ever, all the characters, have they all seen it, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they've all had a similar reaction to you? Like they feel like, that? Yeah, that's me. Or,
yes.
Or, yeah.
If you talk to like Claude Elliott, past Mayor Gander, Brian Mosier, his characters combined, it was Janice Mosier, Janice Gowdy, she was here in Gander, and she had just started at our local Beacon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, I remember the character.
And, of course, Brian Mosier, teacher at Gander Collegiate, but he was into the, I forget what class it was he taught, but he was also a volunteer at Rogers.
Okay.
So that's how he got involved. The the radio was, he was doing live shows
yep.
the whole time.
Yep, yep.
And like Betty,
yep.
or not Betty, Bonnie Harris.
Yeah.
Because she had called me initially saying, Oz, there's animals on those planes.
Yeah.
I said, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll phone. And I got a very, we're busy. I go, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
But Bonnie wouldn't take, if you know Bonnie at all, yeah. she's like a pit bull. When she bites, she locks on and you're not letting it, she's not letting it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And through the jigs and the reels, she phoned a vet here, provincial vet here, who phoned a provincial vet in St. John's, who phoned out to Gander, and Bonnie and them got up there.
Right.
And
right.
they crawled through the bellies of planes.
Yeah.
Looking for these animals.
For the,
And, Diane Davis, she was a teacher at St. Paul's, and Beulah Cooper. Yeah. Beulah is we call her mom. but Beulah is, like she said, I don't do handshakes, I do hugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we were in New York, we got invited to when the Prime Minister had his thing there with all those, and Ivanka Trump was there.
Yes, right.
So we're going up on backstage because they're going to have our picture taken.
Yeah.
So, but they, of course, the security crowd for Ivanka, they push us back a little bit because she wants to go by. And Beulah goes, Ivanka, I'm Beulah Cooper and I want a hug.
Oh, my gosh.
And she stopped and gave her a hug.
Really?
That's great. But that's all the characters are pretty well nailed, and if you talk to any of them, they will tell you, nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed
it. Wouldn't it be great if you staged the show here in Gander with you folks as on stage, the real characters? Just take a few singing lessons.
I'm afraid I can't sing.
No. that would be. You know,
I'm afraid you wouldn't fill the community center anymore.
I think it better than some high school group doing it. You know, have the actual characters.
And for Newfoundland and Labrador, and I'll say Newfoundland because some people think, well, it's only Gander, but it really isn't.
Right.
It's Newfoundland and Labrador.
Right.
The people that are coming now, the tourist numbers are up, and a lot of it has to do with come from away. The tourist numbers are up, and they're only going to get higher.
Yeah.
They're only going to get higher.
There's a little brochure, I think, at the airport about it or something. Or we talked to the security guard when we were here a couple months back.
We just hired a tourism officer because we know, of course, come from way is not going to go on forever, but it's the groundwork for a tourism officer, and that's where he's going to start with.
Yeah.
But we feel that tourism for Newfoundland and Labrador is going to go through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it will have to do with the nice commercials that the province has done.
Yep.
But as the province has said and the federal government has said, they would never be able to afford the advertising that this play is given this community, this region, and this province.
Yeah.
And it's I can't wait.
Yeah, it's an interesting mixture because it's not just the story itself and what the reality of it, and you folks, you characters, and that includes not just those on the stage, but the whole town and so on, but also the skill of the writers and the actors. I remember there was a TV drama that CBC did a few years after. Now you're laughing already because you probably saw it as well.
Oh, I saw it. I didn't like it.
It had Alan Halko in it, didn't it?
I don't even know.
But they had a great big C in it. And so
yes.
And I thought, I saw it as well, and I thought, oh my God, that's not.
No.
That's not the best
that
we
was,
can do.
No, that was, that was, it was disappointing.
Yes.
The only person that was from Gander was Snook.
He was in Gander. There. Oh, I didn't know.
And he only had a small cameo part.
Oh, he was on stage or something, wasn't he?
I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah,
he was working in the airport or he was doing something in the movie that they did.
Yeah.
But most people here did not like it. Because, I mean, they showed people lining up at people's houses waiting to get a shower and stuff like that. And even the accent.
Mm.
I mean, here's a bunch of Newfoundlanders, and they got our accent wrong.
So
I just thought it was not a nice
Yeah. So it's not enough to have just the story.
Right.
You have to have a good writer as well.
Yeah, well, if you look at what David and Irene, I mean, yes, they did a... They were writing the play in Ontario, and I forget, they're going to shoot me if they hear this. I'm in trouble. But and they had just finished.
Yeah.
And Michael Rubinoff, there's the key right there. Michael Rubinoff was the guy that heard about what went on here and felt that there should be something written about it.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And apparently he had pitched this idea to a number of writers.
Yeah, yeah.
And none of them would take it.
Yeah.
And then he found out about David and Irene, who had just finished up and was looking for work. And he went, they came down on a grant.
Yeah, really.
And wrote this.
Yeah.
You imagine? Now, if you, you know, I play the CD in my car all the time.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the songs and listen to, you're going, oh my God, the talent that those two have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's just, and then, you know, how Petrina got tied into it and Romano got tied into it and then the actors that they got in New York and how it all just fell together and look what you got.
Yeah. I think, too, like, I don't really like musicals all that much. I play in them all the time, but that's fine. But, but I found the music was good, great. The pacing is tight. It's really sharp, you know, and so on. But I agree. I think there's this. You wonder. Everything sort of aligned, like the universe sort of came together in that with just those individuals who had that inspiration, but also the story itself.
Yeah. I always say that the planets were all in a line.
Yeah, yeah.
That chorus is always in my mind. I'm an Islander.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When you hear that, especially if you're sitting in New York and that breaks out, even in New York, you're getting people clapping. And I go, Newfoundlanders, you can certainly tell them when they're in the they're waving the flags.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Well, even in Toronto, I was out in Toronto and they're, there,
you know. Look, And that's the thing about it.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Newfoundland and Labrador right now, we're going through tough times.
Yeah, yeah.
And to have that little thing that we can hold on to, I think is just great.
Yeah.
And again, I like to tell people this is not a gander thing.
Yeah.
This, you know, because it just wasn't gander.
Yeah.
But it was all the communities in this region. I mean, St. John's had planes, Steamboat had planes, Goose Bay had planes. It was a true...
Yeah.
Talking to a lot of the tourists, what they want to see is really they want to meet.
Yeah.
Icebergs, absolutely. The scenery, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the main thing that they want is the meet... The Newfoundland and Labrador people.
That's right, yeah.
So if anybody is, you know, you guys are out there listening, if you see a come from aware, say hi.
Right.
Let them know who you are.
And you should get paid, for talking to a come from aware. That's right. That would destroy it entirely.
I'm going to tell you, they... A lot of the ones that I have talked with, you know, they're saying, I was into this restaurant having a meal, and the table next to me, the people look at them and says, oh, you're from away, are you?
Yeah.
And they say, I couldn't believe that they would, you know, talking to me in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah.
So earlier you said it was like they turned the switch on and then it happened and you turned it off and you went back to normal.
Yes.
But was there any time during that those days that they were here that you sort of, or shortly after, you reflected on and you said this and kind of got a sense of the gravity of the whole what happened there? Or was it really years later when you saw it on stage?
You know, I think for most people, it was just, hey, it's who we are.
Yeah.
It's in our DNA.
Yeah.
And we did not think that this was anything special.
Yeah.
didn't think it was anything special at all.
Yeah.
And one of the stories that's in the play seems, you see, and they're talking about the Lions Club and toilet paper.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
It wasn't the Lions Club. It was Gander Academy. Okay.
Okay.
The call come in at 3 o'clock because I was there. Gander Academy has 800 or 900 passengers. And right now they're in need of toilet paper. So 2.5-3 hours later, Brian Mosier again gets back on the thing and says, I have another message here from Gander Academy. Please do not bring any more toilet paper. The classroom is full and we don't know where else to put it.
That's great.
Which is exactly, there was that much toilet paper, from what I understand. You know, there's 1,000 kids go to that school.
Yeah.
And it took them a year to use it all.
Really?
Yes.
Every year they should make that announcement.
Yeah. And there's one story that a lot of people don't know about. It is mentioned in the play.
Yeah.
Was the Wish Kids.
Okay.
They were coming on Virgin Airlines. They were at St. Paul's.
Okay.
And they wanted, I'm not sure if it was 3 or 4 of them were terminal.
Yeah.
The other ones were chronic.
Yeah.
And the 3 or 4, it was their birthday, and they wanted to go to Disney World. And I guess there's some kind of a Tinkerbell or something, birthday parties that they have in Florida.
Yeah.
At Disney World. And Kelly Sevier, she's our... she works with town. Mm-hmm. She called me, says, Oz, we got a problem. And I said, what's that? There's some Wish Kids at St. Paul's. There's 3 or 4 of them. It's their birthday. We've asked to throw a birthday party. And they said no, because there's 20 or 30 other kids there, and you don't want to single out 3 or 4. So my comment was, then I guess we'll have to have a birthday party for 350, because that's how many people were there. So that was at 11 o'clock. By 3 o'clock, we had cake for 350. Our local co-op store
really?
Came up with cake for 350. We had balloons, clowns, my daughter, Lisa, I called her Daddy's Little Piglet.
Yeah.
She dressed up in our Commander Gander costume we had. We had a young girl from the RCMP detachment dress up in the RCMP bear. We had our co-op store has a couple of bears. We had, I believe the Mary Brown's chicken was there, right? And so we threw a big birthday party for these kids. And the one thing that people don't know, there was 4 young girls from my daughter's class had these gowns that they had used the year before for Halloween or something. So they went home, put the gowns on, made tiaras, made wands, and went back to the school and told the 4 young girls that were terminal that they were sent there by Tinkerbell. And to make sure that they had a good birthday. And she was waiting for them down there. But in the meantime, Tinkerbell heard that they were having a party for them. So she contacted them and had them come down. That's not mentioned in the play, but there's so many stories that they couldn't get them on.
That would be the sequel.
Yes.
Come From Away.
There you go.
Son of Come From Away.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm still in shock over all of it, but that's it.
Well, it's a privilege to talk to you. It's great. I can only imagine what it's like to see your town up there on the stage of Broadway.
I don't look at it as the town. I look at it as my province.
Yes. Yeah.
I really do. A lot of people think I'm...
That's very generous of you to say that.
But I look at myself as a Newfoundland or Labradorian. I don't look at myself as a Ganderite.
Yes.
And to see that up there makes me so proud of my province.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because if this had happened any community anywhere. We had Grand Falls calling us all the time, look, if you need anything, come on. You know, like that. So it wasn't just Gander. It was Gander and Glenwood and Appleton and Benton and Glovertown and you name it. So, you know, you had to say Newfoundland and Labrador.
Yeah. I believe the mayor of Appleton had a part in it as well.
Yes. He likes his Irish whiskey, I think it is.
That's what was the kind of sense I got from the character. And I've heard him sing. He's a great singer.
Oh, my. No. Darren, if you're listening, you're not a great singer.
No, at these sessions, Anyway, folks, I hope you have a good session here, and thanks for chatting. All right. So Oswald Fudge is no stranger to anybody around here or anybody who's seen the play Come From Away, because he's the cop.
He's the cop, yeah. The STFD.
STFD?
Yeah.
What does that stand for?
I can't say it on radio.
Oh, sorry, okay.
But what it is that I used to stop kids. When a young fellow first got his driver's license, all right, he thinks he's top of the world.
Oh, sure.
That's it.
Yep.
You know, and the first week, he drives with two hands on the wheel. Yeah. The second week, it's one hand on the wheel and the seat's back. Third week, the music is up right loud and the foot's on the gas pedal. So there's nothing worse than taking the wind out of your sails and having the red and blue come on behind you. So I would go up and I would play mean.
Yeah.
And I'd come back and I'd take my time writing out the ticket. And then I would walk up and he's almost in tears or she's in tears and shaking and everything else. And I'd give it to him and they'll, how much is it? And I'll say, read it. How much? And they look and they'd stop and they'd go look at me and say, what's this STFD? And I'd say, figure it out. And I'll use the slow to fudge down.
Oh, right.
And it was a way to drive it home that, you know, you were speeding, you got caught.
Yeah.
But remember, I'm still out there.
I wish you would have stopped me there a few years back. Going through Gander. Anyways.
You never know. It could have been me.
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't you. Anyway, thanks again, Oswald.
Yep. Not
Take
a problem.
Care. Back to our regular music, I guess.